Have your Bibles this morning and we'll turn, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter number 21. Desire your prayers this morning that the Lord would help us and touch us in this service. Realize that I can't do anything without His help. None of us can. But I'm grateful for the opportunity to stand and try my best to serve Him. And to do what He's put on my heart to do for the service today. And my heart's very heavy and very touched for the service this morning. And I pray He'd help me to get the message across that He's put on my heart today. And that it would find lodging in the heart of someone here today. And the Lord would touch you if you're here this morning and never been saved. I pray the Holy Ghost to touch your heart today. Bring you to that place of repentance. You might get saved and birth in the family of God. Genesis 21, when you found your place, if you're able and willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. I want to begin reading in verse number 1 of Genesis 21. The Lord visited Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. Abraham rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. The water was spent in the bottle. And she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I'd like to preach this morning, if God will help me, out of verse number 19, where it said, and God opened her eyes. I'd like to preach on when God opens your eyes. I thought about this story here, and all of us know all the context to bring us to the scripture that I read in your hearing about the promise of God that's come to Abraham and Sarah that they'll have a son. It didn't happen immediately after the promise of God. And so Abraham and Sarah decided that maybe they knew what God meant. And Sarah said to Abraham, take your servant, my handmaiden, Hagar, and go in unto her. Maybe God meant that they'll give an heir through her. And of course we know that Abraham did hearken the voice of his wife, went into the Hagar, and Ishmael was born. That wasn't the plan of God from the beginning. God had a plan. God had a purpose. He was going to give Abraham and Sarah a son in his time. And so it comes to pass, we read in your hearing this morning, that God visited Sarah and gave her a son, Isaac, they called his name. And Isaac is weaned, and they prepare this feast, and the Bible said that Sarah saw the son of the bondwoman mocking. And she said to Abraham, send them away, for they'll not be an heir with my son. And Abraham was grieved, as he would have been. It was his son, nonetheless. But the word of God comes to Abraham and says to do as Sarah has said. And he told Abraham, made a covenant with Abraham that he would take care of Ishmael and make a nation out of him as well. Of course, we know about that nation today, and I'm not going to preach about that, but I am interested in, as Abraham sends Hagar and her son away, the Bible said that he rose early in the morning and he took bread and a bottle of water and he put it on the shoulder of Hagar and sent her and Ishmael away. And the Bible said that they wandered in the wilderness and there came a time that the water in the bottle was spent. And they're in a place of desert, and there is no water there. There is no life there. There is no possibility within themselves that they can ever survive in the place that they have found themselves in. But the Bible said that Abraham's handmaid Hagar took the child and put him under a shrub, and she walked a distance away because she was satisfied in herself that certain death was to come to her and her son. And she said, I don't want to see my son die. But the Bible said that the angel of the Lord came unto her and said, Hagar, what aileth thee? What's wrong with you? What's the matter? And the Bible said that God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. Now, I don't know, many people have said, or some commentators say, that God had just withheld her eyes, or that the well was there all along. I've heard others say that God provided the well at that instance and at that moment. I don't know the answer to all of that, but I know that without God opening her eyes, she would have never saw the well, and she would have died in the shape that she found herself and her son in. I want to say this morning, I'm glad for the day that God opened my eyes to the well and let me see that there was a remedy, there was a way out, that I didn't have to die in the shape I was in. What a blessed time of salvation that here this woman was. She didn't get in the shape she was by herself, but in reality she got in this place by the choice of another. And that's exactly how mankind is. I understand that we are sinners by practice, but do you understand this morning you don't sin because you're a sinner, but you're not a sinner because you sin, but you sin because you're a sinner. That's how it is. You're born that way. The Bible said by one man, that being Adam, death entered in, and death by sin, and by him death passed on all men, for that all have sinned. We are in the shape we're in reality by the choice of another. Because Adam sinned, we're all born sinners. It's not, you can evaluate your life, look back over your life, and my heart is really heavy this morning to preach to some sinner. I don't know who you are, but I know God knows who you are, and God's wanting to touch your heart. And you might be a young person here this morning, and you might look over your life and think, well, I've not done a whole lot of bad, I've not made a whole lot of bad choices, not we have done a whole lot of things. That doesn't matter. But the reality is you're a sinner. Not because of what you've done, but because of who you are. You're in the dance of praise. You're in a place of death. That's where Hagar was. Without the will, she and her son surely would die. And I'm here to tell you this morning, without salvation in Jesus Christ, you will die. And it's not just a death in this world, but there is a death to come. The Bible speaks about a second death, of being delivered into hell and the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever. And that will be your destination. There'll be no way out within yourself. The water will spill in the bottle. I thought about how many people in this life are banking on religion, or their church membership, or a baptism, or some profession of faith, or some choice they made, or decision they made, or someday in their life that they did. It's not about what you do. There'll come a day that if that's what you're making on, it'll be spinning in the bottle. It will exhaust. It will come to naught. But I'm glad for what the Lord does. It'll never go away. It'll never change. I thought about the woman at the well. She come to draw water. Jesus said, you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. It'll spin in you. It'll come to naught. It'll leave you empty. But He said, you drink of the water I give you, it'll be a well of water inside you. Let's bring it up to everlasting life. It will endure. It will be eternal. I'm glad this morning for the well. Has God ever opened your eyes to see the well? See, you can't see the well within yourself. It's not about you. You can't get to Him. He has to come to you. It's not about the decision you make. And I don't like that word anyway. I understand there is a conscious choice that has to be made in salvation. I understand that it's a responsibility. There is a responsibility on the part of man to repent. But you have to be brought to the place of repentance. Of faith has to be granted unto you to believe. I want to know this morning, is God, open your eyes to see the well. There is a place. I thought about, and I know I talk a lot about songs, and I'm just trying to follow the Lord and preach what's on my heart this morning. But I thought about, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from a man's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. I'm glad on at Calvary there was a well opened. I'm glad it's never ceased to supply. I'm glad every sinner that's ever come to the well. Let's see, the reality was for Hagar and Ishmael that this well meant life for them. It was the difference between life and death. And I'm telling you this morning, there's a well made at Calvary that is the difference between life and death for every sinner. The Bible said that there's a place where God comes to a man and reveals unto them their condition, their need, deals in them in conviction. That's the job of the Holy Ghost, and to approve the world of sin, and to reveal to you your condition, and to show you that what you have spent in the bottle, and to bring you to the desert place where there is no hope for you and no help besides God. I'm glad for the day He brought me to that place, but I'm glad He didn't leave me in that shape. I'm glad He revealed to me a well, a way out, a source of escape, a source of life, a difference between life and death, and He can do the same for you this morning. I thought about when the Lord convicted me. I thought about them days. I spent about 3 days under conviction, the most miserable place that I'd ever been in my life. And then I was just reading this scripture just last night. The Lord, I mean, it just come to me so strong, and I really didn't know what He wanted in it. I mean, I got to reading, and the more I read, the more I thought about myself. And I thought about how Hagar, here she is, you know, as a mother, this most miserable place that she's ever been in her life. I mean, here she is, she's brought this little boy out in the desert by no choice of her own. It's not anything that she's
done, but now she's going to watch him die. That's what she's got convinced in herself. I mean, she's living a miserable existence. But thanks be unto God, when God passed by and God opened her eyes, it meant the difference. There was no more miserable existence. There was no more just making it through. But I'm glad, because of the well of water, the Bible said she gave the lad to drink, and life was born inside of him. I thought about the nights that I laid awake in bed and wondered if I'd ever see the sun rise again. But I was afraid for the sun to rise, because I knew it meant a day of defeat, a day of discouragement, a day of despair, because it's lost without God. But I was afraid to see the sun go down, because it meant a night of restlessness, a night with sleeplessness, because I knew if something happened in my sleep, that I'd wake up in hell, because I'd never been saved and yet saved. And so I got to the place, I didn't want to see the sun come up, I didn't want to see the sun go down, I didn't want to go home, I didn't want to leave home, I didn't want to go nowhere else. And so what was the matter? I was in the desert, and I was dying without God. But thanks be unto God for the day that God opened my eyes and I saw the well.
And I believe with all that's in me, with all that's in me, that there's somebody here this morning. I don't know if you go here all the time. I don't know. If God wants me to know, He can show me. I believe that with all my heart, but I don't know. I got a pretty good idea in my heart this morning who at least one of me is, but that's between you and God. I've just been called to preach to you this morning and to tell you there's a well. You don't have to die in the Saturian. You don't have to die in the wilderness wandering. You don't have to die out there with no water and feel like there's no way out. But there's a well that's been opened. There's a fountain that's been opened. It's never been closed. It's never been insufficient. There's never been not enough water in the well. There's never been not enough for somebody to get a drink. And if the Lord's made you thirsty this morning, if you feel the dryness inside your heart and the deadness inside your soul, I'm glad there's a well in the wilderness for you. And if the Lord's opening your eyes, maybe you've never saw the well before. Maybe you've never really seen yourself as a sinner. But God's the working on you, and God's the troubling in your heart. I'm glad this morning you can be born again. Just follow in obedience to the working of the Holy Ghost. You say, what I have to do, it ain't so much about what you have to do, but it's about what He'll do in you. It's not about all the words you say. You say, I don't know what to say. It ain't about what you say. It's about your heart being ready to receive that that God has given for you and will give unto you. There's a well in the desert for you. Has God opened your eyes to the well this morning? I thought about, you know, if it was all about what you say, then I would probably say that I probably wouldn't be saved. If it's all about what you say. I can't remember what I said. I honestly, for the life of me, cannot remember what I said on that night. I just remember two or three words. I come to myself saying, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. I don't know how many times I said it. Maybe 20, maybe 40, maybe more. I don't know. But I know there's a time that He took the words I was saying and worked in my heart. It's not about what I said. You don't have to come with fancy words. If that's all you're interested in, that's not what God's interested in. He's interested in you. He wants you. He wants your heart. He wants to give you a drink of water that will never run dry. There's a well. There's a place for you to be born again. We spend a lot of our time as sinners trying to figure everything out. I remember them nights of conviction. I tried my best to figure it all out. I tried to tell God. I mean, how many of you have ever tried to tell God what He is trying to tell you? I remember laying in bed at night trying to tell God He wasn't telling me I was lost. He was trying to tell me I need to do better. He's trying to tell me I need to do this. I'm trying to tell me I need to stop that. But I'm glad for the blessed day He took all of that away from me. He took away my profession. I could tell Him. I remember laying in the bed telling about the times that I come to the altar. I remember telling about being a church member. I remember telling about being faithful. But I remember that too.
shoes tonight. Oh, when he knocked all the props out from under me, and I forgot about a profession. I forgot about being a church member. I forgot about being faithful. I forgot about doing this. I forgot about doing that. And all I could say is, I'm lost.
And that'll be the place where God can get to you. When the Lord called to Hagar, she didn't say, now, you remember I'm Abraham's servant. I've been faithful to Abraham. I'm the mother of what Abraham said. Oh, no, she just said, I'm out here in the desert, and I'm dying. I got no water, and my son's going to die. We're going to die. And she didn't have any story to tell. She didn't have any accolades to give. And she just said, I need a drink, or I'm going to die in the desert. I'm going to tell you this morning, it's not about who you are. It's not about who your mama is, who your daddy is, where you go to church. It's not about what you've done, not about what you've not done. It's not about the places you've been, the places you've not been. It's not about if you've been baptized or not. It's not about if you've made a profession. It's not about if you're a member of the church. It's not about if anybody's ever heard you testify. It's not about any of that. It's about whether or not you've ever come to the place where we sink or swim, live or die, hell or heaven, salvation or not, have come to the place that it was no longer about you, but I mean, it's all about Him, and if He didn't do what you need in your life, you're going to die. Have you ever come to that place? Have you ever come to that place? That feeling down on, I can't explain it. If you need me to explain it to you, I can't explain it to you. But I'm glad if you're ever under conviction, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. God don't deal in doubt. He don't deal in maybe so or think so. But God deals in assurance. And He'll let you know if you're under conviction. You'll feel so low. Feel like there ain't nobody can do anything for you. Feel like everybody else bad. I remember that Tuesday night. I don't know how many people were in the building that night. I don't know what all went on. I know it was in revival. I don't know who was preaching. I don't know anything about it. But it seemed like at that moment, you see it all. And I'm not trying to be carnal this morning. But I'm talking about, you know, they do these special effects on that videos and TV and all that, where everybody else just blacks out and it's just a person alone in the room. That's how it felt. That everybody else vanished. It's just me and God. And I come to the realization of who I was and where I was headed. And if God didn't do something for me, I was going to bust hell wide open. That's the reality for me. And I'm telling you this morning, if God's opened your eyes of the need of salvation, that's the reality for you. I can't fix it. Your mama can't fix it. Your daddy can't fix it. Your husband or your wife can't fix it. But I can preach to you this morning about a God that can save you and change you and make all the difference inside you if you'll come to Him. Have your eyes ever been open to the wail? Oh, in your time of death. I thought I'd preach on a whole lot of other things this morning. Had a whole lot of other things I thought. But I can't get away from this. You're here this morning and you're in the desert. And you can't get out. There ain't no getting out. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven that when it looks like it's just about over, when it looks like it's the end for you, when it looks like everything you've got is gone, and the water in your bottle's spent, and that profession you've relied on's over, and the baptism you've relied on's gone, and you're clinging to your mama and your daddy's coattails is over. It ain't about who your mama is or who your daddy is. I don't care if your daddy is a preacher or is a preacher. I don't care who your mama, I don't care. And God don't even, I don't mean that arrogantly or mean, but it's about you and God. And God's a dealing with your heart this morning, opening your eyes to the well that's open for you, or the fountain that's open and available for you. Or would you come to Him this morning? Are your eyes open to the well? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. I'm going to tell you that day at Calvary, when the Lord cried, "It's finished," a well was open. And you can have a drink this morning. If you survey your life and look back over all the things that you're banking on and all the things that's in your bottle, can you say there's been a day that He's given you a drink of His supply, that He's given you a drink of His water, If you can't say that this morning, then what you've got in your bottle will run out on you. What you've got in your bottle will spend on you. But I'm going to tell you, if you've ever been born again, I don't know how it's going to get in this life while we get out of here. But I know there's a blessed assurance and promise that we are getting out of here as the people of God. It'll never run dry. Don't matter about circumstance. What He does is not surface water. It's a well down deep inside you that when it's been dusty and dry for a long, long time, it can still spring up again in your heart. Have you ever had a drink of that water? Are you banking on what you've done? Are you banking about who somebody else is to you? As the Lord opened your eyes to the well of water, and you've seen it for the first time, maybe this morning, I don't know. I feel like that's how it is in my heart. Have you opened your eyes? Lord has opened your eyes. And you've looked out in the distance and seen something in your wilderness you never have saw before. That's that well. Won't you come to the well this morning? I'm glad it's a well of grace. It's a well of hope. It's a well of joy. It's a well of peace. He can do all you can't do for yourself. It's all contained down in the well. Would you come this morning to the well while we stand all over the house? I've done what I'm supposed to do.